The verses say, don't worry about what you're going to wear or what you're going to eat. Just make it all about God. And he'll bring all these other things into your life. It's coming back. It's coming back.
Welcome from sunny South Africa. The following message is from Hillsong Church, South Africa. We pray that this message will truly bless and encourage you.
Hillsong, Cape Town. And wherever you guys are, Mozambique, Ethiopia, Uganda, Kenya, you are in Nairobi, fantastic. And I've preached on TV, obviously, in Kenya, but never been to Kenya. I've never been to Mauritius either. I feel the Lord's calling me to Mauritius. So good to be here. I promise I won't mention the World Cup. But I did grow up in New Zealand, just mentioning it. So looking forward to meeting you guys in the final. Father, we're grateful to be here. We're grateful for your word. We're grateful we get to honor King Jesus. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing here in South Africa. Lord, building your church. Lord, no matter what the report on the outside, we have the word of God as our foundation, as our belief, Lord, that you are on our side. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Oh, and help the All Blacks. And don't let Sia Khaleesi get injured. Amen. How's that? That's fair. That's fair. You guys can be seated. So, Vessels, if you're talking to Sia Khaleesi, make sure you only tell him about the part that I prayed about not getting injured. Don't tell him about the other part, okay? It's coming back. That's my message. It's coming back. What's the devil tried to destroy or take from your life? The Bible talks about the years that the locust and the cankerworm have stolen. In other words, plagues bringing famine. I wonder in your life, what you believe God can bring back. So here's a thought to start with. Every person who can hear my voice has something in common. Everyone was born naked. Don't look at the person next to you, you as well. Everybody had nothing. You never had any pockets, you never carried a bag, you had never earned a wage, you'd never had a job, you'd never paid a bill, never. But from that moment on, life for all of us is a journey. And whether we like it or whether we don't, it includes a financial journey. The person who is desperately poor, or the person who has abundance, or every person in between, whether we like it or we don't, all of us, our lives, finance is a part of it. The lack of finance, the abundance of finance, but it affects everybody. So life's a journey, and so often people, that journey is just an aimless wander. They're just aimlessly wandering through life. The Bible uses a powerful word, pilgrimage. And Psalm 84 verse 5 says, blessed is the man whose strength is in you. His heart is set on pilgrimage. So a pilgrimage is a journey. But it's a journey with a destination. It's a journey with a purpose. I believe we can live our lives, every part of our lives, including to our approach to finances, as a pilgrimage. It's not just about ourselves. It's about God's will. It's about God's purpose. It's about, obviously, eternity, but even here on earth, a pilgrimage towards the goodness, the promise of God. Let's never just be on an aimless wander. Let's live our lives with that sense a pilgrimage in Jesus' name. We were all born the same. But you know, there was one baby in the Old Testament. His name's Jabez. His name actually meant pain. Because mum said he was birthed in pain. Listen, friends, great things can come from pain. Never underestimate what God can do with pain. Well, this is Jabez. Listen to 1 Chronicles 4, verses 9 and 10. It says, Jabez was a better man than his brothers. Not necessarily better looking or better at anything. This is what he was better because of. He was a better man than his brothers, a man of honor. His mother had named him Jabez, oh, the pain, saying a painful birth. I bore him in great pain. Now, Jabez prayed to the God of Israel. Bless me. Oh, bless me. Listen to this prayer. Give me land, large tracts of land, and provide your personal protection. Don't let evil hurt me. Now, here's the point. God gave him what he asked. He prayed for territory. He prayed for land. He says, God, give me land, large tracts of land. Now, if you prayed that prayer, some people would criticize you. If I encouraged you to pray that prayer, even more people would criticize me. I've never, ever heard anyone criticize Jabez for praying that prayer. And even more important, that scripture finishes by saying God gave him what he asked. And what did he ask? He asked for territory, that God would expand his territory. In the Amplified, it says it like this, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border. It says, enlarge my border. He's talking about property. He's saying, God, bless my property portfolio. Sounds like the kind of prayer that many would criticize. But I wonder what you believe for in your life. You know, the journey started with Jabez because he was a man of honor. That's what the scripture said. He was a better man than his brothers because why? He was a man of honor. Honor always starts with our attitude to God. Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of all your increase. And then here it comes, it's coming back. Your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be overflowing with new wine. Perhaps you don't have any vats or any barns. Nor do I. But it's a metaphor. It stands for every good thing. Just like Israel's a land of milk and honey. I've been there many times, but I've never seen milk or honey flowing down the roads in Israel. It's a metaphor. It's talking about every good thing. And the Bible says you honor God, you put him first, even in your finances, and it starts talking about overflowing, that you may overflow. I love it. I don't know about you. You know, the Bible talks many times along the lines of you put God first, you're not going to come second. You'll never outgive God. The Bible talks many times, Old Testament, New Testament, before the law, during the law, after the law, all through the scripture, an eternal principle that if you put God first, it's coming back. Whether you give, the scripture says, Luke 6:38, give and what? It's coming back. It will be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running out all over. Will he add to your bosom? Will he add to your life? The truth is, you cannot outgive God. And that's just one scripture on giving. But it says, if you give, it's coming back. If you sow, the Bible says, as a person sows, that they shall also reap. Genesis 8, verse 22. Listen to what it says there. It says that there are certain things that will always remain, that will never cease. It says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest. What you sow, you're going to harvest. Cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night. These things shall not cease. In other words, it's an eternal principle. As long as we're here on earth and the earth remains, the scripture is very clear that as you sow, that you will also reap. People don't sow with no expectation of return. I mean, no farmer ever has sowed out a field and afterwards said to the field, I don't want anything back. I just wanted to bless you. You there? Are you there? You there? Oh, hey, listen. No, they sow with an expectation. It's coming back. They sow with an expectation. there's going to be a harvest. We can sow in so many different ways, but the truth is it's a principle, a biblical principle, that as you sow, that you shall also reap, whether you give, whether you sow, whether you help the poor. I can just take one scripture, but there's many along the same theme. Proverbs 19, verse 17. Listen to what it says there. I actually love it. It says, I think there's a different translation up there, but it says, he who gives to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. It's not saying the poor person's going to pay back. It says, but when we give to the poor, we care about the poor, we help the poor. Well, what's the Bible saying? It's saying it's like you're lending to God. And then it says, and he will repay you. It's coming back. It's coming back. I'm giving you lots of scriptures. I could give you a whole lot more, because I want you to realize this is not just one random verse somewhere. It's all through the Word of God. It really is. And you care about the poor. You give to the poor. You enter into a spiritual principle. It's like a loan to God. And there's a promise to it. And if you loan to God, I'm sure it's coming back with interest. Pressed down, shaken together, running out all over, will he add. Pressed down, shaken together. Whoa, I felt my whole stomach going like this. Running out all over, will he add. Will he add. Not divide, not subtract. Will he add into your life. And of course, tithing. Malachi 3 verse 10 says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Talking about where you receive, where you're fed. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing, there will not be room enough to receive it. It says, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. The Lord is saying, I will come against the devil for you. I'll rebuke the devourer, the locust, the cankerworm, for your sake. And all nations will call you blessed. It's coming back. I love the fact that being part of a local church, we can give and we can sow and we can give to the poor. Hillsong Africa and all the incredible work that's happening there. And we can tithe, bring provision for the vision. But the promise is there and it's clear. It's coming back. Matthew 6 verse 33. I love it. Tyrone. I'm just going to call him Tyrant. Tyrant Whitaker. Listen to me. Do you love him, by the way? I love his hairstyle. You got the best laugh in the church, that's for sure. I've been hearing that laugh for 10 years, I think. It's amazing. How you going in all the other campuses? I hope you're doing well. Well, listen to me. The scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be given to you. Tyrone said that really it's like, you know, put God first and all these lesser things will be given to you. The Greek word, seek first, it doesn't just mean put God first. It literally, that word seek, it's like craving for God. It's like thirsting for God, longing for God. And the Bible says that if you seek first the kingdom of God, then all these other things are coming back. It's like God first, God second, God third, God fourth. He says, make it all about him. You make it all about him, and he's going to bring all these other material, physical needs into your life. That's what it's talking about. The verses say, don't worry about what you're going to wear or what you're going to eat. Just make it all about God. And he'll bring all these other things into your life. It's coming back. It's coming back. You're very Sunday morning-ish this morning. It's coming back. It's coming back in Jesus' name. I mean, for a moment, I thought that it was that 8:30 crowd, but now I realize it is the 10 a.m. crowd here. Yeah. By the way, the 8:30 crowd were fantastic, just for the record. But listen to me. It's just a principle that you can look at over and over again, so many ways. Proverbs 11, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. It's coming back. Here's the thing. We so often, we have one-dimensional thinking about how God brings back into our lives. You may think, well, I put God first in this way, so I have an expectation it's going to come back that way. But I've learned God's not one-dimensional. He's not even three-dimensional. God is multidimensional, and never underestimate all the different ways he can bring back into your life in Jesus' name. So I want to take a few minutes and just talk about some of those ways that God brings back into our lives. Pressed down, shaking together, running out, all over. Don't make your life a shopping list. God first, and then the school fees, then the new couch, and then the Prius. Do you have those in South Africa? Yeah, no. Just make it all about him. And then you watch out, he will bring these other things back. Well, how does he bring it back? Number one, I believe God can bring back into your life that it's coming back through a prophetic eye. Genesis 22:9, I think it is, says, the generous eye will be blessed. And so I believe God can anoint your eye. Give you the opportunity to see what no one else can see. It's like an intuitive eye. You see possibility, you see opportunity. A prophetic eye means you can see into the future of an opportunity. And I honestly believe that so often that's what God does in people's lives, a discerning eye. Discernment is a Bible word, and it means you can see into something. You can see the difference between what is great and what's not so great with a discerning eye, whether it's discernment about spirits, whatever it is. Well, listen, God can anoint your eye. Bobby and I have lived in the same house for 25 years. It's close to our church, our Hills campus. It's in a nice, not a phenomenal, but a nice part of Sydney, and it's very handy. And here's the thing, 25 years ago, there was just nothing there. There was just bush. I like South Africa because you know what bush is. Americans call it forest. But forests are like pine trees. This is bush. And so it was just covered in bush, and it's a piece of flat land that it goes down into a valley. And so I could see possibility with that land. And so I called the real estate agent. He came down and met me there and tried to talk me out of buying the land. He literally said, that's a of a block. Except he didn't go, I can't tell you what he said, and especially not on Sunday morning. But he tried to talk me out of buying that land. So I called an architect, and he came and had a look. And he said, Brian, it's not a good piece of land. He said, there's only one place you can build a house. And I'm like, I only want to build one house. And so we went ahead, we bought that land literally for less than half of all the other blocks of land in that street because it had an easement in it, which hasn't affected anything. And so, you know something? We've been there 25 years. It's a beautiful piece of land. It really is. It's pretty. It's beautiful. We'll probably live there for the rest of our days. I believe that's just one example that Bobby and I have been tithers and givers all our married lives. And I believe God can anoint your eye because so many times I feel like God has given me insight into the possibility that you couldn't naturally know. And if he can do it for me, he can do it for you in Jesus' name. Number two. It's coming back through the most unexpected sources. I mean, where you just could never imagine God would bring it through that person. Maybe they don't even know the Lord. They're not even believers, or that God can bring it back through that situation. I love the story in the Old Testament of how God brings back into the children of Israel's lives. You see, they, obviously, Jerusalem was their home. That's where the house of God was. They loved the promised land, and against their will, They were taken to Babylon. Babylon, a pagan city, different language, different culture that they were forced to live, to learn. They didn't want to be there. They didn't want to be there at all, but they find themselves there. Eventually, Persia overtook Babylon. And so the Persians became literally the rulers of the world, the leaders of the world. The first Persian king was the first of three kings who decided that they wanted to bless Israel. His name was Cyrus. And Cyrus, listen to how God used him. Now think about Persia first, because Persia is Iran. It was then and it still is now. And so you're talking the equivalent of the Ayatollah of Iran. And this is what he says to God's people. Just catching up with where I'm up to. Ezra chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. In the first year of King Cyrus of Persia, the Lord fulfilled the prophecy he had given through Jeremiah. So it's the result of a prophetic word. He stirred the heart of Cyrus, King Cyrus, to put this proclamation in writing and to send it throughout his kingdom. This is what King Cyrus of Persia says. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He has appointed me to build him a temple at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Any of you who are his people. So any of you who are his people. He's not saying he's my God. He's telling them he's your God. May go to Jerusalem and Judah to rebuild this temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, who lives in Jerusalem. And may your God be with you. Wherever this Jewish remnant is found, let the neighbors contribute toward their expenses by giving them silver and gold supplies for the journey and livestock, as well as a voluntary offering for the temple of God. Hey, just thinking about what's happening here. Here's the king of Persia, Iran, who basically tells Israel, Jerusalem, he says, I want to rebuild your temple. He didn't just say, you can go home. He said, I'll rebuild your temple. He was going to finance it. He was going to build it. He says, I'm going to let you go. You're welcome to go back to Jerusalem, your promised land. And then he says, I'm going to take up an offering amongst all your neighbors so that you have provision for the journey. And then he says, and here's some silver, here's some gold. In other words, here is some currency. So you can go on your way blessed. Can you imagine the Ayatollah of Iran deciding that he was going to build the next extended Century City campus? Can you imagine that? I mean, it sounds ludicrous, doesn't it? Well, it was just as ludicrous then. It was the most unexpected source. It was an impossible source. And yet God used, never underestimate how God can bring back into your life. He can use who he chooses to use. He can do what he chooses to do. All I know is biblical principle, it's coming back. Number three, it's coming back through supernatural miracles, including financial miracles. You say, I don't think God even cares about my finances. I believe God cares about everything concerning you. He loves you just like any dad. I'm the dad, and I'm concerned about every detail of my children's life. So don't ever let some weird spiritual belief rob you of the fact that the Word of God, start to finish, there is a principle. You honor God, you can't outgive Him. It's coming back in Jesus' name. Miracles. I think sometimes we miss miracles. We don't even see them. We don't even notice them. God does little daily things in our lives. And if we just learn to give God the glory for those daily things. Listen to Psalm 68, verse 19. It says, blessed be the Lord who daily, everybody say daily, who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Selah. Selah means stop, pause, give it a moment. Just think about that, who daily loads us with benefits. Psalm 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Everyone say all. You know what all means in the Greek, don't you? It means all. Forget not all his benefits. You see, that's it. That's it. He doesn't just bless us one way. There's so many benefits, so many blessings, so many ways that God brings back into our lives in Jesus' name. In fact, I say, maybe you're praying for that big miracle, that big miracle. And one of the ways I think we open the door to the big miracle is to be grateful and to praise God for all those daily benefits, all those little blessings. Like, for example, your teenage son, he actually wakes up by himself in the morning and gets himself to school. And it's a miracle. It's a miracle. Maybe your teenage son, he one day just discovers deodorant, and it's a miracle. It's a miracle. You know what I'm saying? Wow. Hey, it's a miracle. I believe God brings back through miracles, big ones, small ones, in-between ones, and we need to see it. It is coming back. Number four, it's coming back as the fruit of consistency. There is great fruitfulness in consistency. Being steadfast, immovable. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Steadfast. Put your roots down deep. Be steadfast. Don't be there, then here, then there. I mean, some people's jobs cause them to have to move. And I understand that. That's not what I'm really talking about. Some people are always moving churches. They're always moving house. They're always moving somewhere else. It's funny how no one wants to move to Johannesburg, though. Durban, maybe. But why would you move anywhere when you live in Cape Town? Yeah. I mean, maybe Sydney, Australia, but no. That's not the will of God for your life. Phil will write me out of his will if I start trying to encourage you to do that. Listen, steadfast, immovable. Immovable. What's that like? I'm not saying this to condemn anyone, because we live in a broken world and a lot of people in our church have been affected by divorce. So I'm not preaching at anyone, but I can tell you this. Divorce is expensive. It's expensive. I've never been divorced, but it's expensive. Basically, it's going to cost you half of what you have, potentially. But there's something powerful about consistency, being steadfast, being immovable, and then seeing that God can bring blessing into your life just through consistency and steadfastness in Jesus' name. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. Number five, I believe it's coming back through God enabling you to cancel debt. Debt is so suffocating. It takes such a hold of people's lives. It puts tension on relationships and marriages like very little else does. I pray God will give you the wisdom to break the power of suffocating debt over your life. You know something I know? It's this. Spending is seasonal, but giving is a lifestyle. Don't spend what you don't have. It's pretty simple. Number six, it's coming back through supernatural opportunities. What are supernatural opportunities? Promotion, clients, clientele, contracts, great job. Just supernatural opportunities. A door opens, the windows of heaven open. And God pours out such blessing, there's not enough room to receive it. You just don't have room to contain it. The awesome thing about blessing is we were never intended just to contain it. We're blessed to be a blessing in Jesus' name. And so number seven, God brings back through divine turnarounds. What's a divine turnaround? Well, you hit an obstacle, you hit a wall. There seems to be no way forward. You just got no way of moving on. And suddenly God miraculously, divinely turns it all around. Do you believe God can do that for you? Do you believe God can turn it around where there is no way that He can make a way? Where there is no way that He can make a way? I want to tell you one story, and it's about our church in Australia. We've been going 36 years now in Australia, and Our city campus in Sydney, we've got the hills that some of you may have seen on the television and so on. And then there's our city campus, which is dynamic, thousands of people. And so we were in a little warehouse, and it was totally inadequate. As a matter of fact, we had 8 services, 2 on Saturday night, 6 on Sunday, and still we couldn't fit all the people in. I mean, it's a great problem to have. But right before the global financial crisis, the GFC, we found a piece of land nearby, and we bought a piece of land where we were going to build a much bigger building. But it became clear the council, the city council, were never going to allow us to build on that land, which we had already paid for. It cost $28 million Australian dollars. So that's a lot of money in anyone's language, and a lot of money for a church, $28 million. And then the global financial crisis hits, and it's now worth $11 million. We paid $28 million. It's worth $11 million. And by God's grace, we've never, ever, over our history, had to go to the church, with a report that we had lost the finance on anything. But that's what it was looking like. It was bleak. Not only was it only worth $11 million, no one wanted it. No one was buying it. Well, to cut the long story short, a man in the community I've known for many, many years, a good man, he's a property developer. And he approached us and talked about a joint venture on that piece of land. And so that's what happened. So the church went into a joint venture with this highly credible developer. And he built something like 350 or 400 apartments on that piece of land. Cost us $28 million. It was only worth $11 million and no one wanted it. But it brought into the church $40 million. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's coming back. It's coming back. We've had a similar experience now on the land next to our Hills campus, where same developer. We've had this piece of land for years, right beside our land. And now we're building 2 20-story buildings on it. And it's going to bring also a huge amount into the church, meaning we can increase facilities, that we can increase campuses, that we can see the work of the Lord going forward. It's coming back. It's coming back. I think because Hillsong South Africa cares for the poor, helps the poor, gives to the poor, I believe that's a principle where we're going to see our church blessed. I believe God is going to provide buildings. God is going to provide territory. God is. I mean, after all, it was not a selfish prayer. When Jabez says, God, Lord, give me land, give me territory, give me property, large tracts of land. We should have an expectation as a church for that in Jesus' name. Friend, listen to me, look at me. It's coming back. It's coming back. God will bring back into your life. He will anoint your eye. He will use the most unexpected sources. He will give you miracles. He will cancel debt. He will bless your consistency. He will literally give supernatural opportunities. He can give you divine turnarounds. Never underestimate the ways that God can bring back into your life. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you just made a decision to follow Jesus, we just want to say a big congratulations. This is the beginning of an amazing relationship. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and send it to a friend that you know will be blessed. You're always welcome to join us for Sunday services happening across South Africa. Find out where and when on hillsong.co.za. We can't wait to meet you.